number 16 and verse number 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, amen, just in the midnight, I'm talking about in the nick of time. You know, in the midnight of your day, that's the way the Lord shows up. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Now, wait a minute. This is the crowd that's supposed to be in pain. In verse 23, they've been beat. Stripes was laid upon them. And they in prison. They ain't having a picnic out here in the sunshine. They're not just in the prison cell. They're in the innermost part. That's the dungeon. That's where you keep the worst of the worst. General Pop, they in there with the bad guys, and they having church. Amen. Said in verse 25 that Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, I like that business, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. He didn't want to be beat. Verse 28, and Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They praying, they praising, and now they preaching. And verse 31, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house, and they took And he, that prison guard, took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all the house, all of his house. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. I want to pray, Lord, that you'd empty us out of flesh and failure and anything, God, of faults from the top of my head, the bottom of my feet, from the depths of my soul. I pray, God, that you'd use me, Lord, as a mouthpiece to be able to preach the word of God in power and great authority. Thank you, Lord, for truth. And Lord, we just want to say today, God, we're nothing without you, Lord. We deserve nothing but hell. But God, you saved us and washed us in your blood and made us kings and priests under our God. So help us to worship you today. We pray it be so. Give us liberty. Give us unction, power from on high. We don't deserve it. But Lord, not based upon my goodness, but on your grace, with the calling which you gave us before the foundation of the world, we pray that your word would go forth in power and accomplish in every life that you sent it to do. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for being abundantly able to do above all we could ask or even think. And we pray it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. If the Lord would help us for a little while, I want to preach on this thought tonight, this morning. The day maximum security prison had a revival. The day that a maximum security prison had a revival. Here they are, Brother Scott. Can you imagine all that they'd went through and everything that they'd seen? And yet the Bible says here they are preaching partners, prayer partners, praising partners, church planning partners. They sow the seed and see souls get saved together. I mean, they watch God. They watch God do all this, and yet the Bible says they still doing the same thing when the bottom drops out in bad circumstances. I just want to say today, thank God. Listen, they sometimes that we just need somebody to go with us. Now, oh, yes, and I'm glad that there is some on the scene today. Through all your hardships and hard times, I'm glad God got somebody there with you. Aaron had her to work together with Moses to hold up his hand. Amen. Old Belial, he had somebody to help him through his hard times. It is amazing that here we're looking at Silas today just for a little bit. And Silas is the companion that Paul needed when Paul was going to be persecuted. Oh, man. There's one. A lot of folks say they're going to be with you, but when troubles get on and everything's turned upside down, they gone. But praise the Lord, there's some faithful friends. And Silas, in our text, reminds us of Jesus. I want to look at him just for a little bit today. It seemed like when the world needed judgment, it wasn't the world getting judged. It was God's people that were doing justly were the ones getting judged. Them that were genuine, them that had a heart to see others forgave, them that were trustworthy, them that lived a life that was worthy of respect. And yet the Bible shows in our text, it was they who did not receive sympathy, them who did not get generosity, them who did not receive empathy. It was them, these guys who were honorable, these guys who were honest, were having hard times. You ever felt like that sometimes and it seemed like it gets darker and darker? But can I say there's some good things happening in this Bible at midnight? Just by way of introduction, I'm not going to deal with those today, but in Exodus in chapter number 12, y'all remember that, don't you? In Exodus chapter number 12, when the death angel come, you know when the death angel passed over that crowd that had blood on the door? It was at midnight. Amen. You know when Ruth found grace at the foot of Boaz that day on the threshing floor? Guess what time it was? You guessed it. It was midnight. Amen. Hallelujah. And Matthew 25, when 10 virgins were gathered together and they found out who was real and who wasn't real, and they wanted out of that shape they was in. Guess what time it was when the Lord showed up? It was midnight. And in our text today, thank God, God's still showing up in the midnight hour of your life. It don't matter how bad it gets. It don't matter how rough the road gets. God will still show up at midnight, and He'll give you somebody to travel along with you. Thank God for Christian companions. Thank God for people that He'll put in there to preach with you and pray with you and praise the Lord. But some that'll be there even when the prison time comes. Man, thank God for some partners in this walk of the pathway of a pilgrim. Here I want to look at just a few things. I want you to notice that Silas
Silas, being a type of the Lord, he is, and boy, shouldn't we be like the Lord? He is a sympathetic partner, number one. You say, preacher, sympathetic. He was there whenever they were beaten. He was there when they were on the mountaintops. Those times, amen, when you feel like you ain't got nobody. Silas didn't come over there. See, Silas was sympathetic. He wasn't just empathetic. You can be and show empathy when somebody's lost a loved one, because maybe you've lost a loved one. But you can be sympathetic when they've lost a daddy and you've lost a daddy. You really can understand what they're going, even though the circumstances will be different. And you really can never really know what somebody's going through, because maybe their daddy wouldn't like your daddy, or maybe the circumstances were different. But you can sympathize when somebody has went through the trenches with you. When they've been in the foxhole with you, they can sympathize. When Paul looked over at Silas days down the road and he said, man, my back's hurting where that whip caught me. You know what Silas said? He said, oh, Paul, don't worry about it. He said, I understand. I know what you're going through. Boy, ain't you glad Jesus, amen, was a faithful high priest, and I'll read it in just a minute. But when, amen, when we go through being persecuted, when we go through being talked about, when we go through being forsaken, the Lord can look over at the Father and say, I sympathize with him. I remember what it was like when I was in the flesh. I know what he's going through. I've been through the same thing when I was down there. Boy, ain't you glad. Hey, man, Silas could say, hey, Paul, I understand what you're going through. Paul's chains. Hey, man, I can imagine them while they're sitting there and they changed up. The Bible said they had their feet spread apart. They said they would spread them so far apart that muscles in their thighs would begin to, and legs and arms would be stretched out in an X formation. Said it would hurt. And they've already been beat. They've already got whips. And most scholars, and according to the text, that word whip means to be whipped with a scourge. And so it ripped pieces of flesh out, and they already hurting, Brother Scott. They can't lick their wounds. They can't bandage themselves. I mean, they in the innermost prison. They in the dungeon where the rough crowd's at. And I can imagine Paul looking over at Silas and said, man, these chains seem like to be pulling my legs apart. And old Silas said, I understand. Hey, man. Boy, ain't you glad it don't matter what you've been through. I'm glad I got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Here, in fact, here's what it says about him. In Hebrews in chapter number 2, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Jesus, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham. See, Christ in mercy became man, not an angel. Christ in mercy became man in all areas. He knew suffering, he knew tears, he knew hunger, he knew what it was to be thirsty. Christ in mercy became man so that he could be a merciful high priest. And Silas, hey man, could look over and Paul said, Paul, I'm right here with you. I'm glad I'm a partner in the ministry. Amen. And ain't you glad the Lord, amen, he understands all the hardships. He understands the hurts. He understands the suffering. He can succor us. Amen. To relieve that pressure. That word over in Hebrews 2 said he's able to succor them which believe. That means to relieve the pressure. That means to come alongside. That means to understand and identify. I'm glad he's able to lead the way. Hallelujah. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to be lonely. He understands false accusations. He knows what it's like to be called a devil, to be called a Beelzebub. He understands the disbelief of family, his own family. The Lord's own family, didn't he? His half-brother, James, didn't even believe till after the resurrection. He knew what it was like to have family and friends scoff. See, he was a sympathetic partner, Silas was. Oh, ain't you glad we've got a sympathetic partner in the ministry? That's what the Lord says. He said, we work together. Amen. Not only was Silas a sympathetic partner, he was a silent partner. Boy, ain't that something. You know what it is? It's an amazing thing. People will get money in the bank. People will have success stories come their way. And most of them never give God credit. But you let something bad happen, they'll say, I don't know why God's doing this to me. Y'all know I'm right. Might as well say amen. None of that crowd even acknowledged God. When the tires were hit, some of them went to saying, I don't know why God allowed this to happen. Well, hold on a minute now. Hold on a minute. They'll say stuff like this. They don't want to acknowledge God. They don't want to respect God. They don't want to take His word. But as soon as the school shooting goes on, and I'm against, as far as I'm concerned, we ought to arm and train every teacher and principal. Amen. That'd fix it. In Israel, they all got automatic weapons, the teachers do. And there ain't no school violence over there. Amen. They know better. Somebody say amen. But, oh, we can't have that. We can't have that. But, boy, ain't it something. As soon as it happens, I don't understand why God would allow this to happen. Boy, I'm glad God knows, hey, man, He gets the credit for every good thing, every perfect gift, every good gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variable, it's neither shadow of turning. It is God that lets every good thing. He lets it rain on the just and on the unjust. God, you realize God can shut the water off. He did. One time, amen, He did it another time, all through the Bible. He cut it off one time for 3.5 years, and as soon as one His man of God prayed, He turned it back on. God can do what He wants to. He put the whole world on famine to get one man out of the hog pen. He put good news, amen, getting in the ears of Naomi all the way down in Moab just to get somebody back to Beth. God can do what He wants to do, and yet God is still merciful, and God's still good to us, and we've all got clothes and food in our bellies, and God's done everything good, and we don't want to give God credit. We'll say, that's my hard work. That just comes from working hard. No, because God let your heart beat, and God let you, amen, you breathe in His air, standing on His ground, amen, and if there's any good thing about your life, it's God that gets the credit, amen. He's a sympathetic partner, but He's a silent partner. See, here's what I mean. I think it's one of the things that needs to be noted. The worst thing to have in your hard time is for somebody to come up and say something like this. You know, Paul, we wouldn't be in this shape if we stayed over in Macedonia. Silas never said that. Silas, he never did say, Paul, we should have stayed in Macedonia. He should have said, Paul, I trusted that you got the vision. And I would to God, I didn't get no vision, but I trusted you. You was the man of God, and I trusted you. And look where we're standing at now. No, Silas didn't do that. And that's the way a lot of times it is in church. If everything goes good at church, they'll say, woo, man, we got a good church. Anything goes bad, they'll say, man, that preacher's a sorry man. Y'all know I'm right. Amen. But he never did do that. Silas never did say, amen. Amen. No, sir, not Silas. He wouldn't do that. He wasn't a self-centered complainer. He didn't say, well, Paul, I don't understand why. It's your fault that we're in this mess. He never said that. He wasn't a self-appointed convictor. He didn't say, well, hey, it's some sin in your life. The reason we're in the shape we're in, Paul, is because they sin in your life. No, Silas didn't do that. You know what Silas said? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. That's what he probably said. Hey, man, I don't know what they sung, but I know they were singing down there. They was having a concert for glory. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what Job's friend did? Job's friend showed up. They were the best friends a man could ask for when they kept their mouth shut. And as soon as they started talking, they were running down Job. Amen. You don't need no friends like that. Man that had friends like that, be better off to hang around enemies. Amen. Silas wasn't like that, Brother Scott. He was a sympathetic partner. Amen. He was a silent partner. He stood behind the scenes. Matter of fact, you can look it up and just check it out if you want to. Amen. But he was not only a silent partner, he was a second place partner. You check it out in your Bible. Anytime they're mentioned, he's always the second one in the list. He's never mentioned first. It's not Silas and Paul. It's Paul and Silas. Every time. He's just content to be the second man. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm telling you, he'll show up, friend. He'll be that person just standing over there in the corner. Amen. It'll be there with you when everybody else is gone. He done showed up in Daniel's day back in Babylon. You know what he was to Daniel? A lion tamer. Amen. Brother Frank done said it this morning. When them boys was in the fiery furnace, you know what he was? An air conditioning provider. Amen. HVAC system just showed up. They know why they was walking around? To stay warm. They's about to freeze to death in there. The Lord done showed up. I believe they was smelling like a rose, Brother Frank, because the rose of Sharon done showed up. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. It don't matter. You know what? When David was down there facing God, you know what he showed up in David's life? He showed up as his champion. Amen. Y'all have heard me preach it before, but it's true. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever call David a champion. Nowhere in the Bible does it call David a champion. Now, Goliath was the Philistines' champion. You know why? Because David had a champion, and it was God. Amen. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad he shows up? You say, preacher, I'm in bad shape. You don't understand. I mean, I'm plumb off course. I'm glad he'll show up and be your pilot. He ain't your co-pilot. He'll show up and bring air conditioning when the fire's on. He'll show up when the lions is trying to bite you. He'll tame the lions. He'll show up and calm the storm in your life. It don't matter what you need. I'm telling you, God. You say, preacher, I'm starving to death. Well, he'll send somebody over there to make your barrel stay full. Hey, man, it don't matter what you need. God is that kind. He's a silent behind the scenes, always working. If you look in the book of Esther, God's not one time mentioned in there, but he's just a silent person working behind the scenes to let his providential sovereign will take place. And it looks like even in Joseph's life, it looks like men are handling him and they're mishandling him, and he's being sold and he's being lied on, and he ends up in the pit, and then he goes to Potiphar's house, and then he goes to prison, and then he's forgot about by other people in the palace. But God's working behind the scenes to, amen, I'm glad God does that. Ain't you glad God does that? I like it when he shows up every once in a while and just says, hey, I just want to let you know I'm still here. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, ain't God good. The Holy Ghost called him in Acts 15:22 chief among the brethren. The Bible says in Acts chapter 15, that thank God Silas is chief among the brethren. Oh, yes. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad he's the fourth man in the fire. Y'all might as well say amen. Paul, you say, why did Paul and Silas praise the Lord? Because he showed up. Amen. That's why he praised the Lord. Paul couldn't have done what he done without, amen, without Onesimus. He couldn't have done what he done without Silas. He couldn't have done what he done without Timothy. God always gives you traveling partners. Ain't you glad of that? And then he'll show up and just make everything better. Amen. That's what Paul needed. That's what we all need. We need folks to stand beside us. We need folks to stand behind us. Ain't you glad of that? Amen. Only one name by itself in Acts 15:34. Look at this right quick. Acts chapter 15 and verse 34. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. When everybody else is gone, guess who still stay there still? Old Silas. Boy, I'm glad he stood with Paul through the triumphs. He stood with Paul through the trials. And ain't that what our Lord does? He'll stand with you and he'll give you other folks to stand with you. He is a second place man. Hey, man. But thank God he's not just a second place man. He's a singing, shouting man. Hallelujah. Look at verse 25 in our text. In verse 25, the Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And then they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Hallelujah. Thank God. I've said it so many times, man, y'all probably get tired of me saying it, but that's jailhouse rock. The Bible said the foundation shook. Hey, man, I don't know. They said Elvis went to Sunday school. They said his mama was a godly woman. I don't know if that's where he got it, but before the king ever sung about it in Tennessee, the real king showed up over in Acts chapter 16. Hey, man. Oh, yes. Yes, he did. Hallelujah. But I was looking through my notes. I don't know, I was praying, Lord, please let me preach that. One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. Hey, y'all know what I'm talking about. There's some people in it for the money. There's some people in it for the show. But three is ready to go. Amen. And four, and when the Lord shows up, we're getting out of here. He's the fourth man in the fire. Amen. I can't wait. One day, I want to be singing and shouting when he comes. I want to be singing and shouting when he shows up. And the darkest hour, God still gave him a song in the night. And ain't that what Job said? He said, God will give you a song in the night. When I can't find him at my left hand, my right hand, my front, my back. When I don't know where I'm at, where God's at, God knows where I'm at. And he'll still let me sing. I say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He's a singing and shouting partner. But he's a sharing and shining partner. Look what he says. Look what he says right here. 26. Look what he said in Acts 26. And the Bible says the prison, the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors are open, and everyone, not just Paul and Silas, don't skip that, everyone's, that's what it says, bands were loosed. And the preacher, now I don't know, brother, you can say what you want. I know why they didn't go nowhere. They having camp meeting. But how in the world didn't murderers, the worst of the worst, run out of there? I'll tell you why they didn't run. Paul and Silas had something they wanted. Hey, man. They were sharing and shining. Here's what I thought about the other day. I stand before you. I started out the service like this. I have thought things, said things, and done things since I got saved that makes me unfit to even be a Christian. And if you be honest, you have to. You say, preacher, I ain't said it. You probably said it. You probably let some words come out of your mouth that's not becoming of a Christian. You say, preacher, I ain't done it. You probably have done it. But whether you've done it or not, you sure thought on it. And the Bible said to look on a woman and lust after her in your heart's already adultery. Somebody preach, amen, say amen. I've done enough since, matter of fact, I'll go so far as say I've done enough this week. I've done enough probably in my mind. My mind been tormented. That's why you young people need to get saved when you're young, so you don't open up all them doors and have to wrestle to keep them doors shut in your mind. Get saved at a young age and don't cross lines until you get born again, until you get married. Somebody help me. Hey, man. I'm telling you, the only message we have recorded in Scripture that Silas preached, he preached saying something about Paul. You know what they said about John the Baptist? They tried to get Jesus, trip Jesus up on John the Baptist. He said, I got something good. He never did say, well, he's down there in that prison. He's going to go through some doubt. That ain't what he said. You know what he said about John? When he had an opportunity to say something about John, you know what he said? There ain't one born a woman greater than John the Baptist. You know what my grandma used to say? If you can't say nothing good, keep your mouth shut. Somebody ought to preach right there. When Silas, y'all know how Paul got when Mark come over there and he was half in and half out, and old Barnabas and that crowd wanted, you know what? Paul had a temper. Paul had some fault that you could find. If anybody knew it, it had been Barnabas and Silas. But not one time did they say anything negative about Paul. Boy, I like that. Boy, ain't you glad when the Lord Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you, I'm telling you, he don't bring up all your bad. Amen. Because when he sees you, he sees you. Amen. He sees you in the blood of Jesus. I'm glad he sees you pure. He sees you perfect. He's going to present you holy and without blemish before his Father. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. The prisoners heard their singing. They heard their shouting. They heard all their sharing. And you know what that man said? He, trembling under conviction, called for a light, because a man in darkness needs light. And then he needs some direction. And he said, what must I do to be saved? He said, man, I'm already under conviction. What else is there? Paul said, well, you're already under conviction. You're willing to repent. You're saying, what can I do to get saved? So ain't nothing left but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I'll tell you how good God is. He'll save not just you. He'll save everybody in your house. Boy, ain't you glad God will do that. God's promises are yea and yea. So if he done it for one, he can do it for all. Don't give up on your family. If God can save a prison man's family, he ain't even got home yet, and he's already seeing them saved. He said, I ain't even washed their wounds yet, and he already got word God's going to save them. So don't doubt. Don't let your flesh, don't let the world, don't let time, don't let all that stuff creep in. Say, well, my family's too far gone. There ain't no hope for them. Now, just hold on a minute. If God told you he's going to save them, then God will save them. Can you say amen? Is he able to save? Is he willing to save? Ain't he long-suffering to save? And didn't he put up with our hide a whole long time before we got saved? God's still saving. Amen. He'll save a man. That prison guard ain't handed out one tract, ain't gave a tithe one time, ain't gave to the mission fund, and God's done saved his whole house. Woo! Before the sun come up, they all got born again and baptized. Boy, I'm telling you, God's good. Boy, Paul had a partner. There was one of them behind the scene, but there was one of them on the scene. Ain't you glad right here in Landrum Independent Baptist Church, I can look around and say, thank God we got some on the scene. Silas was one of them you wanted to have over to family dinners. There's a song, and it talks about Mama. And I got to thinking about Mama, and I believe she's going to be 92 next. Soon. Going to be 92 years old. And you know what I got scared? Hit me like a ton of bricks while I'm studying this message. Is there going to be any Mama's house? Is there going to be any Mama's when our grandbabies grow up? Are we going to be the Papa's and Mama's that we were privileged to have? Are we going to be, I want Isabella to look at me like I looked at Papa. Are y'all with me today? Well, I'm telling you, old Silas, he could go to his grave. He didn't care to be second. He didn't care to be silent. He didn't care to have stripes laid on his back. He didn't care if it was on the mountaintop or low. He wasn't just around when it was easy. He was around when it was rough. And I'll guarantee if you use a full Silas's family over to the side, they'll say, I want to thank God for my papa. Is there going to be any papa's house? Is there going to be any mama's house? Are there going to be any godly examples for us? The flesh always wants the easiest way. Faith is not easy. Faith's free. God gives it to you free. But to live a life of faith, it ain't easy, brother. The flesh is strong. And we feed it every day. Might as well just be honest. Can we be honest? I started to get up here and just tell you, I ain't even fit to preach this message this morning. If we'll be honest, our flesh fails us every single day. And whether we want to admit it or not, we ain't got no right to be popping our suspenders. We ain't got no right to be a self-appointed convictor. Silas never did. He never did look like, boy, ain't you glad the Lord don't write you off every time you step out of line. But we will. We'll write folks off. Preach on, preacher. Y'all know I'm right. I done went to that door. I done called that family member. I'm sick and tired of God. Boy, I'm glad God never said that when he's dealing with me. Amen. Amen. That's right. The prison jailer, before he can be converted, he got under conviction. Amen. The jailer was able to turn to Paul and Silas. You know why? Because they were shining their light in the prison time. They were still shining. They were still giving a sermon. They were still shouting. They were still singing. And so the jailer said, I know where I can find some good news. And he said, amen. He brought them out and said, tell me what I can do. He didn't go to the old thug over over here. He didn't go to the drug dealer. He didn't go to the murderer. He didn't go to that crowd that he liked hanging around down there at the bar. I'm going to tell you where he went. He went to the man of God and said, I know somebody. Is our youngest going to have somebody they can go to when the world falls apart? Are they going to have somebody that loves God enough to keep on persevering when the persecution and the prison times and the midnights come? Are they going to have anybody that they can say, tell me what I can do, Grandma. Tell me what I got to do to be saved. Boy, I'll tell you what, I thank God for some Paul and Silas's. Old prison guard, he got converted that day. You know what's weird? The omnipresence of God, the omniscience of God, allowed them to be striped on the back, put in prison, shackled in chain for doing nothing but preaching right. Just so he could get a jailer in his household safe. He put them through pain, persecution, problems, and suffering just to bring them through all of that to get a family saved. God help us to realize sometimes when man lays their hands on you, when men puts their mouth on you, when you think everything's against you and your flesh says, you've done right for all this time and everybody else is doing wrong, so you got an excuse to do wrong. Just keep shining, because somebody's going to be in the darkness needing some light. Somebody's going to need somebody to give them a sermon. Somebody's going to need somebody to keep on singing and shouting. And when the smoke clears, they need to see Mom and Daddy and Grandma and Grandpa and Pappy and Mimi and everybody, all the other names, of Nanas, and they need somebody to still hold the standard, keep singing, keep shouting, because it's when everything turns upside down, amen, that you really shine. When God puts, amen, when you can still serve God, when everything else tells you to quit, that's when your children, your grandchildren say, man, they've got something that's real. Y'all know I'm right. See, the devil wants to tell you you're missing out. God started a church in Philippi. We have the, don't we have a book named Philippians? You know how he started that church? With a woman down there having a prayer meeting named Lydia, with folks that used to be demon-possessed and a bunch of jailers and prisoners. They didn't run. If I've got life and, amen, if I've got a life sentence and the doors is open and my shackles fall off, I'm headed for the hills. If I'm facing the executor's guillotine, I'm running for the hill, not them. They stayed right put. You know why? They had the preaching. They had the praising. They wasn't nothing for, amen. They done tried everything in the world, and that wasn't what they had needed. Amen. Thank God. They were companions in prison. They didn't choose prison. The circumstances brought them to prison. But Lydia was Europe's first convert. The prisoners and the prison guard followed right after that. And Europe and Macedonia and Philippi got the gospel being planted because two people that were faithful enough to trust God in the midst of their prison experience. You know why God shows us a man named Silas? To remind us, he's doing the same thing right now. And there is a silent partner, but he'll let you have one that shows up on the scene. He gave Paul Silas. He gave Paul later Timothy. He gave Paul Onesiphorus. He gave Paul Euphratus. He gave Paul Eudidas. He gave Paul numerous people all through the Bible right when he needed. You say, preacher, my head's hurting because I'm tired of getting beat up. My heart's broke. I'm tired of getting it busted.
Say, preacher, I'll just be honest with you. My hands are wore out. I'm tired of doing something for God and seemingly not getting no benefit out of it. Well, can I tell you, if you'll just trust God in your prison, God will put a partner in there with you, and you'll be able to march forward for the glory of God. Sometimes he gives you that partner you need and a spouse. Paul was a single man. He didn't have no spouse. So God kept giving him people all through his life to help steady him on the pathway that God had planned for him. Sometimes God will let a revival break out. Eunuch, an old eunuch from Ethiopia, got saved. Saul of Tarsus was a Jew. Cornelius was a Gentile, white man. Lydia was the first European. Jailer, ain't no telling all them prisoners what they were. You know what the moral of the story is? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, don't matter where they came from, what nationality, what creed, don't matter their background, God came to seek and save that which is lost. Victoria, why don't you come? I thought about it.